Welcome to the City Gospel Movements Podcast, where our goal is to help celebrate and accelerate gospel movements around the world by interviewing leaders and hearing their stories. I'm your host, Daryl Crouch, and today we have with us Artie Padilla as we hear how God is using Every Neighborhood Partnership in the city of Fresno, California. Well, I'm honored today to welcome Artie Padilla to the podcast. Artie, it's really good to have you on today.
Thank you, Daryl. Great to be here.
Well, you head up Every Neighborhood Partnership in Fresno, California. Before we get into that, and I'd love for us to hear how that started and really the impact that you're making there, but tell us a little bit about yourself and your background and then how you came to this spot.
All right. Well, I am a native of Fresno, born and raised. I did spend 3 years in Los Angeles for college, but my family's anchored here, so I moved back. And, you know, probably like a lot of high schoolers, college folks, you don't really want to live in the same city that you grew up in. And that was my plan too, but the Lord obviously superseded that plan. And I have fallen in love with Fresno, a lot of it because of the ministry work that I've done here in Fresno, and so glad to be here. This is where my calling is. And I am a full-time servant. I'm not married. I don't have any kids. So I work a lot of hours, but I love what I do. So I'm really not burnt out. And I love the Lord. I love the church, and I love our city.
Yeah, that's so good. Can you tell us a little bit about Fresno? Those of us who don't live in that beautiful part of the world, tell us a little bit about Fresno and the community that you serve.
Yeah. So Fresno was incorporated in 1885. And really, it's an agrarian area, the whole Central Valley. I think most people know that we kind of are the breadbasket of the world, Fresno County being either one or number two in ag productivity nationally. Very diverse community. Our school district, the fourth largest in the state, has, on average, they say about 90 different languages spoken in our school district. Unfortunately, we have a lot of extreme concentrated poverty, unfortunately number two in the nation. So a lot of social ills, but we're a resilient community. Besides the poverty and unemployment and things like that, we just have a lot of amazing people. The church is active in Fresno, very active. There's a lot of assets in the community, and that's what ENP is really trying to take advantage of, is mobilizing those assets for the health and benefit of the city.
Yeah, that is a great segue to my next question. Just would you talk to us a little bit about ENP, Every Neighborhood Partnership, and people can find out more about what you're doing at everyneighborhood.org. But talk to us about how ENP began and than where you are now.
Yeah, so really the driving force, in 2002, a really popular teacher had passed away from cancer. She was really engaged in community. So they honored her by starting the Patty Project. Her name was Patty Negrete. And that was the launching of a couple of Saturday sports programs at two elementary schools near downtown Fresno. I just happened to be volunteering at one of those sites starting in 2002. And quickly just kind of became the ministry leader as a volunteer from 2002 to 2008. And during that course, what we called a partnership with the church that I was attending thrived with not only the Saturday sports, but classroom volunteering and mentoring clubs after school. We started doing things in the neighborhoods with the residents, block parties, service projects. Well, that kind of caught the eye of a lot of other churches. And in the summer of 2007, my missions pastor, Tim Getz, had threw out the idea of possibly starting a nonprofit to help other churches partner up with other schools. And over the course of a couple of months, we kind of discussed that. I had to really kind of figure, is that where I want to be going in that direction? But the Lord clearly said that that was really the role that he wanted me to play, was to help launch that and get it running. And that's what started Every Neighborhood Partnership officially in January of 2008. And we just started partnering up churches and schools slowly. And well, I say slowly, but you know, we grew much quicker than we thought. So we had anticipated maybe about 12 partnerships in the first 3 years. We ended up with about 35.
Wow.
So obviously this was a great platform to get the churches involved in their, in our community. So, that was really kind of the history. And, you know, with each passing year, it's, we've refined how we do what we do, knowing more about the city, more about the churches, more about kingdom work, and mobilizing not only the churches now, but businesses and the universities and the residents themselves. So it's continuing to morph over time.
Yeah, I can imagine as you drill down deeper and understand the needs of the city more thoroughly, there's opportunity to respond to that. And y'all are nimble enough to do that.
Right, yeah. And I think that's the blessing of a smaller nonprofit. You're not anchored in this institutional structure. You know, you can be nimble, as you say, and adjust as you need to.
Yeah. You mentioned in some of the resources on your website, you use the term a cohort of organizations. Can you talk about who's involved? And you've talked about these 30 partnerships or so that developed very quickly. Who's involved in those partnerships and how do they relate to one another?
Well, yeah, so we are kind of a hub, ENP. So we're currently working with 52 different schools in the Fresno Clovis neighborhoods. And within each of those 52, we create these stakeholder teams. So the church being the anchor, but it also could be another nonprofit that's working at that school or in that neighborhood. It could be some Fresno State students that want to partner in that particular neighborhood. It could be a local business that wants to partner in that neighborhood. So we look at each of those 52 neighborhoods individually, but collectively we kind of will track how many stakeholders are in each neighborhood, and that's our collaborative. So we have, you know, we're working with about 65 churches currently, about 25 other nonprofits, both universities and junior college, about 12 to 15 local businesses, and a good 200-300 residents that just individually become stakeholders in that neighborhood. So with each passing year, more stakeholder partners come on board. Mm-hmm. And we are kind of that collective impact kind of backbone structure. Sure. That provides the support, the guidance, some resources, the equipping year round that we do for all of them, and then just help them with their direction. Then of course, each of those 52 partnerships that are at a different level, some have been at it for 10 years. Some have just started this year. So we just coach them along, meaning coaching those volunteer teams as they progress towards their kingdom work.
Yeah, I love that. You've used the word platform a few times and the word hub. You're a conduit, really connecting people that need help with people who want to give help. So the resources that you provide, what does that look like month to month or week to week even? I assume that there's volunteer leaders of each of those partnerships and you're pouring into them. What does that look like and what can we learn from that?
Yeah. So yeah, you described it really well. So we do, each partnership has a core volunteer leadership team and we invest in them as they invest in their broader volunteer base. So that is like our Saturday sports. We have 30 Saturday sports programs. And my staff and I have divvied up and divided. So I'll coach about seven of them. Andrew will coach seven. Herman and Brian will coach the others. So we break it up. So, you know, because if you have too big of a base, you really can't connect with all of them very often. So we have assigned coaching. And then we'll be with those leaders individually. But we bring them together as well for equippings and trainings. I mean, then we'll even bring the masses together. Like we just did a conference on trauma, which affects everybody. So that was just an all out, hey, come and learn. We filled up the 200 seat conference room pretty quickly. But we'll have those throughout the year. It might be on literacy or it might be on asset-based community development. So we have small little trainings. It could be, you know, starts with one-on-one coaching. It could be cohort equipping, but then it can be just citywide trainings too. So we use that year round in how we develop the volunteers.
Yeah, I love that, Artie. That's just so important. It seems that sometimes we always care about the cities that we serve and the people, and we find it easier to provide a band-aid sometimes than really lead in systemic change and transformation in a community. And so that kind of training and that kind of investment really can move the needle and change the dynamic in a city over the course of a decade, let's say, in a real way.
Yeah. So I personally, when we launched ENP, it was not my vision for ENP to last forever. I've always kind of had the philosophy that a nonprofit should start to address an issue. And if you're doing it well, you should have an ending point. Yeah. So I like to say, if for some reason at the end of this year, if everyone just said, oh, we're not going to fund any ENP anymore, I'm not going to say all 52 of our partnerships are going to continue, but most will, because we've taught them how to do it on their own. You know, that's our vision, was to equip the church, and we've done a really good job of that. So sustainability is really important for us, you know, meaning that if ENP ever went away, is this going to continue? And the answer is yes, thankfully. So we just need to keep having that mindset.
That's great. You've mentioned the 60 churches that are involved, over 60 churches involved. How important is their investment? How important is their leadership? And what does that look like in the execution of these partnerships?
Well, we have to have the head pastor on board. Now, we don't want them to really be hands-on. They have enough to do. So, but they do need to have the heart and the vision that ENP has, you know, because, you know, they need to bless whoever that lay volunteer leader that we're going to work with. They need to have to be supporting them as well in the area of, like, if that volunteer leader needs to share on a Sunday about the ministry, they need to have that opportunity and that platform to share their vision. You know, we don't ask the pastors to donate to ENP in year one. We tell them, just check out the value in the first year. And if you have missional money to give to ENP, great. If you can't afford it, that's okay. We're still going to work with you. Maybe you can support by buying your own supplies for Saturday sports. You know, maybe that's your investment. Because mm-hmm. Even if they can't do that, we're going to do that for them, of course. So there's that type of investment. And then just the ongoing vision casting of, like, hey, you guys have done a great Saturday sports. Do you think you guys might have the capacity to start adding literacy mentors in the classroom? Or what do you want to start doing in the neighborhood? They just have to have that openness to see their congregation continually grow and thrive internally so that they can have external impact.
Yeah, I love that. And to be open-handed with churches, but yet really invite them to lead the way seems to be just really essential if we want to see gospel transformation in a city.
Right, yeah. We all feel that the church can have the largest impact in any city, no matter where you are in the world. So they really should be the pioneers in the work that's going on in their neighborhoods. You know, and that's a great message for the non-believers to see that, wow, that church, and they're on our school campus all the time. It's like, they're always doing stuff in our neighborhood. That's how we can bring people to Christ, through our consistent actions and verbal messages throughout the year, year after year after year. We've seen it. It's played out over and over with each partnership, that's when families start coming to church. That's when school districts start saying, man, we need to get more. At this point, from Fresno Unified, you know, they say, Artie, how can we get more churches involved? It's like, yeah, I'd love to as well. I'm going to keep working at that. We work with a lot of churches, about 65, but there's 500 churches in Fresno. So that's that means that I have a lot of work to do.
Yeah. Well, and the fact that they're asking for that speaks highly of ENP and just the credibility that you build. It seems like everything runs on the rails of relationships and the trust that we build, and to have open doors like that speaks highly of the work y'all have done.
Yeah. Relationships, they obviously work at the speed of trust. So that takes time and, you know, credibility over time. But thankfully, you know, we've got a great relationship with the city, the school districts, the institutions, the hospitals. So it's been great to build that up over the years.
Yeah, well, I want to talk about that for just a moment. As you've led this effort and kind of been on the front end of that, what have been some of the practices that you've employed that would help others of us who are listening in to build that credibility or to build those relationships with people in each domain in the community?
Well, you have to be actively present in some of the networks. Now, naturally, in my DNA, I'm a network weaver, so I like going to meetings and listening and paying attention. I really don't talk too much, especially the first few years. I just wanted to learn from what I heard, but being actively present in some of these networks with institutional leaders and learning their structures, to me, the key is don't ask for stuff all the time. Just sit and offer things. You know, I think one of the mistakes we make is, hey, it's like, can you do this for us? Can you do this for us? And then you're just really a burden of asks. Instead, you know, so an example is we've never asked money from Fresno Unified. You know, we probably will soon, but we've given them 10 years of just unconditional love and service. And I think that's why they are so open to us, is because most organizations say, hey, we can do this, this, and this. Well, here's the price tag. You know, whereas we just say, hey, let's do this. So now, you know, example of that trust is I sit on the interview panels for when they're hiring principals at the elementary schools. So, you know, they see the value because we've not just been a burden of, hey, like we need funding for this, for this, for this. So I think you just have to have that mindset of service and not of asking. So that's a key for us.
Yeah, I love that. That's so helpful to listen, to be ready to serve, and to take the time necessary to join their agenda and to help them be successful rather than simply asking them to help you be successful.
Right, yeah. And now, we, of course, you know, we have to stay true to our calling. And when you're working with the city or an institution that isn't Christ-centered, we obey the rules that we have to. Like at a school, we're not going to be sharing the gospel in a classroom, but we have our platforms at Saturday Sports or in the Good News Club after school or right. in that block party in the neighborhood. So it's you have to walk that line and just take advantage of the openings that you do have.
Yeah, that's so good. Let's turn the corner just a little bit and personalize some of the work that you're doing. What have you learned just personally, or how has God grown you through this experience? You've been doing this for quite some time now. What have you learned along the way?
You know, I'll start with the church. I've learned that the church, just like people, are unique. You have to learn the DNA of that pastor leader. You have to understand that not all of them are going to really think the same way when it comes to local missions. And you have to be okay with that. You have to understand that they all, because denominations do things a little bit differently, you know, you have to have an open mind about whether they do baptisms one way or another. That's okay. It doesn't, you know, you have to love Jesus and you have to be anchored in certain things, but you have to be open to the differences of the church. So that's one aspect. You have to be a constant learner of the kingdom, the city. What's the heartbeat? You know, who are the people that make up your city and what are the structures within that city? You know, who are the major players? So learning, I'm constantly learning about our church. I'm constantly learning about our city and then trying to build those two together over time. And it's a never ending process of learning because, you know, as I'm sure even in your town, there's different aspects of each neighborhood. Certain folks migrate to certain parts of that neighborhood, knowing the cultures of our African-American community and the history of it. Fresno has always been a city of refuge from the Latino community to the Southeast Asian community that was migrated here to the Armenian community to the Okies from the Dust Bowl. You know, we've always been a city where people just flock to for refuge and, you know, and understanding that history is really important in a city. So you've really got to do your homework while you're paying attention to the now and how it's growing in the future.
Yeah. That's really helpful. One of the things that we learn from are our failures or our setbacks. Maybe do you have one or two setbacks that you'd be willing to share with us that you thought, you know, we swung and missed, but we learned a lot through that?
Well, I think I was not prepared for the diversity of thought and personalities in our churches. So I would get frustrated the first couple of years. It's like, don't we read the same Bible? It's like, you should be serving. What's wrong with you? Yeah. You know, and I wouldn't say that. I would think that sometimes. So that took me a couple of years to really understand, okay, it's like, I think I need to change my mindset. I've also seen that conversations that I would have in year one and two that I didn't think went really well, those pastors would call me up 2 or 3 years later and say, hey, we had a conversation about 3 or 4 years ago. I think I want to explore that again. And so it's like, wow, okay, the Lord's planting seeds, even in our pastors' heads, and I need to be okay with that. It's God's timing, it's not my timing. That's probably been my number one learning thing, is like, I need to trust in God's timing and not think about what I want. So, you know, now if I go into a conversation with the pastor and he just, you know, from my perspective, may not quite get it yet, the Lord's provided that conversation for a reason. And maybe it'll take 3-4 years, but, you know, maybe they'll call me back up and say, hey, it's like, we're ready to do that now. And, yeah. And I need to be okay with that. So that's probably my biggest thing that I've learned over time, is just to be patient.
No, that's really helpful. That theme continues to come up as we have these conversations with city leaders and city movement leaders. I think it was Rob Kelly there in Charlotte who said, you know, if you're not in this for the long haul, you might not want to get in it. Yeah. And so that theme continues to come up. And I know none of us can predict the future, but it seems like if we have the long view, we'll make better progress even in the short term. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I can resonate with that greatly. I think that sounds like Rob and I and a lot of others probably have lived that out and learned that over time, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Artie, I'm so grateful for you joining us today. Folks can go to everyneighborhood.org and see what you're doing and see what you're up to and learn from you. And I know you wouldn't mind us stealing a few ideas and that you have there. And I just appreciate the work that you have done, not just today in our podcast, but for the investment you've made literally over the long haul, over the last almost 20 years, 15 or 20 years there in Fresno.
Well, thank you, Daryl. Yep. Everyone, steal the idea and just call it something else.
Yeah.
It was God's ministry. So it's his church all over the world. So use it.
Well, thanks for joining us on the City Gospel Movements podcast today.
Thank you, Daryl. Appreciate it.
Thank you for joining us here on the City Gospel Movements podcast, where we help to celebrate and accelerate gospel work around the world. If you've enjoyed the conversation with Artie Padilla and would want to know more information about EMP, visit everyneighborhood.org. Then if we can be a resource to you as you pursue a city gospel work in your own community, be sure to visit citygospelmovements.org.